All right, buckle up for this deep dive, folks. We're going to tackle a case that's really going to make you think, especially if you're, you know, interested in that messy intersection where free speech bumps up against a city's right to, like, regulate things for the public good.
Yeah, this one's a doozy.
We're talking Kleinman v. City of San Marcos.
Oh, yeah, I remember this one.
And what makes this case so interesting and I think, you know, instructive for all you law students out there is the main character, you could say. Totally trashed Oldsmobile that got reinvented as a planter.
Not your average art exhibit, huh?
Not even close. We've got the Fifth Circuit's decision on this one and some analysis to help us unpack how this this car planter, as they call it, became this huge battleground over the First Amendment and art law.
Exactly. And just to paint a picture for our listeners, we're talking about a smashed up Oldsmobile, not just sitting there rusting away, but all decked out with paint, overflowing with cacti, and get this, with a big make love not war message splashed across it. Yeah. So our mission in this deep dive is to figure out how the court grappled with this, well, let's just say unique display. We'll be digging into how they use tools like intermediate scrutiny, which is basically this middle ground level of review for laws that touch on free speech.
Right.
And they even brought in the Visual Artists' Rights Act, you know, VARA, which is all about protecting certain types of art. Plus, there's this kind of wild procedural twist in the case that we need to untangle.
Okay, so let's set the stage right. Give us the backstory. The main player here is Michael Kleinman. He owns this chain of stores called Planet K.
Oh, I know Planet K.
Yeah, and Planet K has this, well, kind of unusual way of celebrating a new store opening.
Oh, tell me about it.
They have this car bash event for charity.
Car bash.
Yeah, people pay to go to town on a car with sledgehammers, all for a good cause, of course.
Sounds chaotic, but I guess it's for charity.
But here's where it gets interesting. The car, after everyone's had their fun smashing it up, doesn't just get sent to the junkyard. It goes to these artists who turn it into, well, you guessed it, these car planters, which then become this really memorable advertising for the store.
So like roadside attractions.
Exactly. And the specific car that got everyone into legal trouble was for the Planet K in San Marcos, Texas.
Okay.
These artists, Scott Wade and John Furley Travis, took this completely wrecked Oldsmobile and basically used it as their canvas.
Uh-huh.
They painted it with these local scenes from San Marcos and made that make love, not war message super prominent. And this car planter wasn't hidden away somewhere. Nope, it was right outside the Planet K store, totally visible to anyone driving by on Interstate Highway 35.
Oh.
Talk about prime real estate for advertising.
That's a lot of eyeballs.
Right, so you're cruising down I-35 and boom, there's this like wildly colorful, totally demolished car. Plants are exploding out of it and it's like screaming this message of peace. Well, the city of San Marcos, not exactly feeling the peace vibes, they decided to cite Kleinman for violating this local ordinance against junked vehicles.
Oh boy, here we go.
Yeah, and the ordinance was pretty straightforward. A junked vehicle was defined as like a car that can't be driven, one that's been taken apart or basically it's abandoned. And if it was visible from a public road and considered an eyesore, well, that's a no-no in San Marcos.
So they saw this car and thought, junk.
Exactly. And they didn't mess around. The city actually took it to municipal court and, believe it or not, a judge ordered the car planter to be removed.
Seriously.
Seriously. That's some serious escalation.
It is.
And that's where the legal fight really kicks in. Kleinman, along with the artists, Wade and Travis, they said, nope. Not going to happen. They took it to federal court, arguing that this junked vehicle ordinance totally violated their First Amendment rights to freedom of expression.
Bold move.
And they didn't stop there. They also brought in VRO, the Visual Artists' Rights Act, arguing that it protected their unique creation. So what started as a local squabble over this like really quirky piece of roadside art blew up into this federal case with some really weighty legal questions at its core.
Fascinating how that happens.
Okay.
You know, local to federal, just like that.
Yeah, totally.
So let's get down to brass tacks. The central issue here, at least when it comes to the First Amendment, was whether this ordinance was like a legitimate way for San Marcos to regulate things. The key question, was it what's called a content-neutral regulation?
Okay, break that down for us.
Sure. Basically, did the rule target the message itself, or was it just about how things looked, regardless of the message?
Yeah.
That's where the Fifth Circuit used something called the O'Brien test.
The O'Brien test.
Right. Now, for our listeners who are still getting their legal feet wet, the O'Brien test is what courts use when a government regulation affects, you know, expressive conduct. but it's not directly aimed at the content of that expression. It's like, okay, you can say what you want, but you can't do it in this way.
Interesting.
So the court had to figure out if San Marcos was trying to silence the make love not war message, or if they were just trying to tidy up the city's look.
Gotcha. So walk us through this O'Brien test. How does it work?
Think of it as this four-part balancing act that the court has to go through. The first part is about, you know, basic government power. Did San Marcos even have the right to make this kind of rule in the first place?
Right, because cities can't just, like, make up any rules they want.
Exactly. And the court pretty quickly said, yeah, cities do have the power to regulate stuff for the health, safety, and general well-being of their people.
Makes sense.
Like, they can deal with things that they consider to be public nuisances, you know, things that are unpleasant or dangerous.
Okay, so check mark on that first part of the O'Brien test. What about the second part?
Right, so second part is about substantial government interest. Basically, what was San Marcos trying to achieve with this junked vehicle rule? Were they just being picky, or do they have a real reason?
Good question.
Their argument was that they had these two big goals: reducing blight, you know, preventing the city from looking all run down and trashy, and of course, the ever important improving public safety.
Makes sense. You don't want smashed up cars all over the place.
Right. And they argued that a trashed car, even if it's all painted up, could be an eyesore, attract pests, maybe even pose some kind of physical hazard.
I see their point.
Yeah. And the court agreed. They said, okay, those are legitimate, important goals for a city to have.
Okay. So that's two parts of the O'Brien test down.
We're on a roll. Now comes the third part. And this is a biggie. The regulation can't be about suppressing free expression.
Oh, so now we're getting into the nitty-gritty of, like, whether the city was trying to censor the art.
Exactly. Was the city really bothered by the make love not war message? Or were they just using that as an excuse to get rid of something they considered an eyesore? That was the question.
Tough one.
It is. But the court looked closely, and they just didn't find any evidence that San Marcos was targeting the anti-war message specifically, or even the artwork in general. The ordinance applied to any junked vehicle. Didn't matter if it had a peace sign or, you know, a portrait of the mayor.
Ah, so it was content neutral.
Exactly. And that was a major point in the court's decision.
Okay, so what about that fourth part of the O'Brien test? You said it was a four-part balancing act, right?
The fourth part is about narrow tailoring. Basically, did the city's rule go too far? Did it restrict more speech than was absolutely necessary to achieve those goals of, you know, reducing blight and keeping things safe?
Interesting.
And here, the court pointed out that San Marcos wasn't saying you absolutely cannot display this car ever. They actually gave Kleinman some options.
Yeah.
He could have put a fence around it.
Oh, okay.
He could have moved it inside the store. He could have kept it in a garage. Because there were these other ways to deal with it, the court said, okay, the rule isn't restricting free speech any more than it has to. So at the end of the day, the Fifth Circuit said, yeah, this junked vehicle ordinance passes the O'Brien test.
So they sided with the city on the First Amendment issue.
Yeah, they basically said it was probably constitutional.
Okay, now let's switch gears and talk about VARA, the Visual Artists' Rights Act.
Okay.
Kleinman and the artists, they argued that this law protected their car planter and prevented the city from yanking it away. What did the court say about that?
Well, the court was very clear. VARA didn't apply to the car planter. VARA is all about protecting, you know, the moral rights of artists, like their right to be recognized for their work and to prevent their work from being messed with.
Right.
But here's the catch. VARA has these specific exceptions.
Exceptions.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't protect what it calls utilitarian objects or, and this is important, advertising materials.
Okay.
So the court looked at the car planter, and even though it took artistic skill to create, they said, come on, its main purpose was to advertise Planet K. So it fell right into that exception for advertising, no matter what the artist might have intended.
So because it was also advertising, that basically overrode any artistic merit it might have had in the eyes of the law.
Pretty much.
Wow.
The court made it clear that VR is more about protecting, you know, traditional fine art, not stuff that's primarily used for commercial purposes.
That's a really important distinction. Now, this case also had this weird procedural hiccup, right?
Oh, yeah. Don't forget about that.
All right.
This part is particularly interesting, especially for those of you heading to law school, you know, getting ready to actually practice.
Tell me more.
So the Fifth Circuit actually overturned part of the district court's decision, specifically the part where the district court told Kleinman and the artists that they had to follow the municipal court's order to remove the car.
Wait, so the district court went beyond its authority?
Exactly. The appellate court said the district court didn't have the power legally speaking, to enforce that municipal court order on its own. That's what sua sponte means, by the way.
Ah!
Like, they can't just jump in and enforce lower court rulings against people who weren't even part of the original case.
Interesting.
And this is especially true for the artists, Wade and Travis, because they weren't involved in that first municipal court case at all. Federal courts have these very specific limits on what they can and can't do, and enforcing a lower court order like that just because they felt like it, well, that crossed the line.
So even if the lower court gets the law right, a procedural flub can still mess things up.
Big time.
Yeah.
And to make things even more interesting, there was this concurring opinion from Judge Haynes. He agreed with the outcome, you know, that the ordinance could be applied to the car planter, but his reasoning was a little different.
Oh, how so?
He basically thought the majority opinion spent way too much time analyzing, you know, the expressive, the artistic side of the car planter. He was like, come on, it's a junked car. That's its primary function.
Mm-hmm.
It's advertising for Planet K, and it's an eyesore. End of story. He thought that practical purpose was so obvious that there was no need to get bogged down in all the artsy stuff.
He had a point.
Right. He wanted to keep the focus on the city's clear interest in safety and, you know, keeping things from looking junky.
Makes sense. So even when judges agree on the result, the way they get there can vary a lot.
It really shows how complex legal analysis is, right? There's not always just one right answer.
Okay, so for all our listeners out there, especially the law students soaking up all this legal knowledge, what are the big takeaways from Kleinman? What should they remember?
Well, I think the first big lesson is that laws that are truly neutral, you know, they don't target the message itself, but they serve a legitimate purpose, like keeping a city clean and safe.
Mm.
Those laws are going to be upheld most of the time, even if they impact someone's self-expression.
Gotcha.
As long as they meet that O'Brien test, that four-part check we talked about, they're usually going to pass the constitutional sniff test.
Okay, so that's one.
Number two, I think this case really clarifies that VARA, you know, that law protecting artists' rights, it's not a free-for-all. There are limits, especially when it comes to things that are mainly functional, like a car, or used for commercial purposes. So something is creative, but it also has this clear practical or promotional role. It's probably not going to be shielded by VAR.
So a smashed car turned into a planter to advertise a store.
Yeah, not going to cut it.
Fair enough.
And the third takeaway, and we talked about this a bit earlier, is that courts have to stay in their lane. They can't just enforce orders against people who weren't even part of the original lawsuit.
Jurisdiction matters.
Big time. And thinking about this car planter, right? Imagine if that exact same creation was sitting in an art gallery. Would the city even try to use this junked vehicle ordinance to remove it?
I mean, probably not, right? It just wouldn't make sense.
Exactly. That really shows you how much context matters in the law.
It really does.
The court even pointed out that the expressive part of the car, you know, the artistic message, was secondary to its purpose in that specific location.
So where it was and how it was used made all the difference.
Totally. It's not just about the thing itself. It's about all the circumstances surrounding it. The fact that it was visible from the highway, its connection to the business, even the fact that it was a beat-up car, those details shaped the court's decision.
Okay, so wrapping up our deep dive, I think this case gives a really concrete example of the balancing act that courts have to do. They're trying to protect artistic freedom, but they also have to give cities the power to, you know, keep things looking decent and make sure everyone's safe.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for those of you studying law, it's a great illustration of how those legal tests, like intermediate scrutiny, actually work in the real world. Plus, it clarifies the limits of laws like VARO that are meant to protect art.
For sure. And let's not forget that reminder about jurisdiction. Courts can't overstep their boundaries, no matter how tempting it might be sometimes.
So to end on a thought-provoking note, this whole legal battle was about a wrecked car turned into a planter.
I still can't get over that.
It makes you wonder what other ordinary things could spark these legal showdowns between personal expression and community rules.
Right. The line can get blurry.
It really does.
I mean, think about it. The context, the intended purpose, those things can completely change how the law views something. That's something to keep in mind as you continue your journey through law school.
Absolutely. Great insights as always. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive, everyone. We'll catch you next time.
See you then.